So many plant and animal species have been introduced to Hawaii, either by accident or design. Some are brought here with good intentions and disastrous results. Hawaii's reef ecosystems and source of so much life face a particular danger from invasive algae. Dr. Celia Smith of the UH Mauna Botany Department has made Hawaii's invasives her specialty. She's part of the Waikiki Aquarium's invasive algae cleanup this weekend, and she's with us this morning. Good morning, Celia.
Aloha, Chris. Aloha, Bethan.
How did this mess get started in the first place? By mess, I mean algae essentially covering the coral, killing the reef, right?
Right. In an earlier era, as was noted in the previous conversation, the efforts were to really bring in plants that might have an economic benefit to the state or provide income and job security for other peoples. Mm-hmm. But in order to really understand the impact, we have to start at understanding what a healthy reef has. And so a healthy reef is a place where we have bottom-up feeding of all the herbivores in an area. Basically everything, or almost everything that moves is eating algae. And mm-hmm. in that case, about 2,000 bites per meter square per day is the kind of herbivory pressure for a healthy reef. Mm-hmm. What these invasives do is come into, by human impact, are introduced to a reef, but they're not the kind that most of those herbivores would eat.
So they just grow.
They just grow. And the best image I can recall is what my front yard looks like after baseball playing the whole season, where the weeds are quite deep. Mm-hmm. And that's what effectively we have when no one is tending the garden of those reefs, because there aren't enough herbivores in some cases, or the herbivores are not eating what's there because of these invasives are generally not too tasty. Many of the urchins or reef fish would prefer to eat other, at least of the ones that we have on our reefs now.
And being not too tasty works to their advantage because they just thrive and thrive.
They just thrive. It's as if they are growing in a nutrient culture without any kind of limitation. And that's the cost that our native species have paid. We've lost, in Waikiki in particular, 85 native macroalgae. And so some of those are the species that the Hawaiian culture would really love to have, like limukala for mm-hmm. ho'oponopono, or limukohu to mix in with your poi. We have the loss of that kind of aesthetic value, the value that these reefs play to our host, to our culture. Mm-hmm. We've also, when there are a few fish in an area, we lose food security. We've not got that refrigerator stocked with all the species that we would want for dinner. And that's particularly important when we have disasters that hit and the inability to provide food on the basis that we actually need for these islands, we fish. And in that case, if there aren't fish in our refrigerator, we're in real trouble.
It's that whole ironic move away, historic move away from self-reliance that we've had in the islands,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Our reefs, healthy reefs, provide us resilience against storm damage, wave force action. And so we face real challenges. The healthy reef protects our future, and these reefs with invasive algae are not healthy. Our future is at risk.
How out of control is the damage that has been done?
Well, in Waikiki, we have actually one of the few places in the Pacific where we have data from the 70s. Albeit that may not have been the most healthy time, but there's nowhere else in the Pacific that has this kind of species by species biomass over time and space.
The data you
we
really need.
We have the data that shows just how much our reef has changed. And so a reef that would have had 85 species of macroalgae like limukala are now dominated by three invasives, two of which nothing will eat, at least in our current fauna.
Not doing anybody any good.
Correct. And so these are persistent changes that unless we intervene and interrupt those cycles and try to push a different trajectory, we're going to be looking at this potentially spreading, potentially island-wide. And that could be disastrous for people who rely on healthy reefs for food.
What kind of energy needs to be focused here? There's a cleanup coming up this weekend.
And those are wonderful events. It's a heartwarming feeling for, I think, everybody who gets involved, from little kids to the kupuna from the Department of Education's program have come down.
But they tend not to be ongoing.
That's right. We need far more effort. We need new tools, and we have actually some graduate student research that's focused on providing us the information for what our native urchin would actually eat in this assemblage. Kaneohe and Waikiki are different enough in their impact. We can't take Kaneohe data and assume that it will work in Waikiki. We have some really fascinating studies that were done by an undergrad looking at what reef fish that are not in our ocean but should be, what those fish at the aquarium will actually eat when given a choice between a native and an invasive. Mm-hmm. We've found three species of fish in the aquarium that will prefer to eat Gracilaria salicornia.
Native species.
Native species of fish. They're just not on our reefs.
So if they were reintroduced or revitalized?
We could see a sea state change.
And that would be a natural solution that would not pose the risks.
Precisely.
That the invasives have
There certainly are risks, because few of these ecosystems are in balance, but we've got to work within our native species in order to find these solutions. So science has the opportunity to give us the tools that can be the next generation of activities.
But it really needs to be an across-the-board understanding, almost reef by reef, where the work needs to be done.
That's a really important point, Chris, because what I've realized in the last few years is that we can talk about biomass, these piles of algae on the reef, but in order to make it better, we need to consider species by species solutions. And I'm not trying to make an infinite job security for me and my students, right? But we really need to know what fish eat which algae grow where, how these factors are all interacting. So in Waikiki, we have a novel advantage because we know where the natives were 25 years ago.
You don't have to worry about your job security because this problem is not going
it's
away.
It's not going away.
Thanks very much for talking to us.
My pleasure. And please, everybody come and log in to the Waikiki Aquarium website, waikikiaquarium.org, if you want to join the cleanup. Thanks so much.
Dr. Celia Smith of the UH Manoa Botany Department will take part in the Waikiki Aquarium's next invasive algae cleanup, March 22nd. You can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page. We'll be right back.